Rabbi Feivish, okay.
Mishpatim, as we know, is a very big parasha, both in kamos and in echos, in quantity and in quality. There's so much here to say. I'm sure you're aware that there are three or four parashas in the Torah that are mitzvah parashas, many, many mitzvahs. Mishpatim has, in fact, 53. There's 53 mitzvahs, there's 23 mitzvahs asay, and 30 mitzvahs loisas there in parashas Mishpatim. The interesting thing to note is that if you look through the 53 mitzvahs, probably about 80%, approximately 80% of the mitzvahs are ben adam l'chaveroi. And that's why it's mishpatim. Mishpat means to settle judgments, to settle problems between people, into social activity. That's mishpatim. And Rashi starts off with an interesting, difficult Rashi. Rashi says, Ve'ele. So Rashi says, Vav Moisif Alinyan Rishon. Vav is the continuation. What's the continuation? Ma Ilubis Sinai of Mishpatim is Sinai. Just like it says, Adibris was in Sinai, so is Mishpatim also was said on Sinai. Rashi brings the same similar thing in Bahar. Bahar Sinai, Rashi asked the Kasha, isn't everything in Bahar Sinai? So the Pasuk says, Shemitah. So, what's the connection? What's Rashi trying to tell us that Mishpatim was said from Sinai? The whole Torah wasn't Sinai. Well, the Maaseh, what was on Sinai? So, Kol HaTorah Kula Nitna B'Sinai, what exactly does that mean, Nitna B'Sinai? Klal Yisrael stood at the bottom of Har Sinai on Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan, whatever, went to the different Tanoim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Aseres HaDibris, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, and they said, from Anoichi till, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, the Aseres HaDibris, till V'choil Asher L'Reyecha. And switched off. That's what the Rebbe Yisrael said on Sinai, on Matan Torah. That's called Matan Torah. But Klal Yisrael heard Aseres HaDibris. So where's Kol HaTorah Kula? What's the Kol HaTorah Kula in the Aseres HaDibris? So Rashi brings the Sadia Gaon. Rashi says, the Sadia Gaon says, the Tariag Mitzvahs are Kulam Nirmazu B'Aseres HaDibris. If you know how to read the code, in the Aseres HaDibris you can find all 613 mitzvahs. There are some that say it's taka written on the Luchos. They weren't that big, the Luchos. A lot of writing on a swab. Okay. So the Pashtos is like this. The easiest way for us to understand is Klal Yisrael stood on Har Sinai and heard those words. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. They heard the 10 different tzivuim. Emuna, Loisisa, Loyelohim Acherim, Loisisa, Shabbos, Kibbutz Ve'em, Loisisa. That's what they heard, the instructions to do. And those were the mitzvahs, it's more than 10 mitzvahs, those were the mitzvahs they were given to do. In those words, if you know how to work it out, you've got Kol HaTorah Kula, the whole Torah is there. So what's the Chiddush of Rashi, Ve'ele HaMishpatim, that's Af Oyech Misinai? But if it's from Sinai, well, what exactly does Rashi want? Let's ask ourselves the following question. When was this parsha actually said? Right. Well, if you go back to Rashi in Yisroi, and Rashi at Sheni Vahimi Mocharos, Rashi gives us a whole cheshbon that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't available to speak to the Klal Yisrael from the day after Matan Torah, 7th of Sivan, 8th of Sivan, until Yom Kippur. Moshe Rabbeinu had three visits to Shemaim, 40 days, 40 days, 40 days. He was up in Shemaim for 120 days, 4 months. So from the time of Matan Torah, of Shavuos, the Aseres HaDibris, Moshe Rabbeinu was busy doing other things. He wasn't there to teach the Eden. So we can imagine like this. I've never seen anywhere, but did Klal Yisrael know there was going to be a Kabbalah Satorah? Moshe Rabbeinu knew, because Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem at the snare, how can we shaykh that Klal Yisrael will be able to come out of Mitzrayim? Hashem said, "Ta'avdun etzelukim al ha'hor hazeh." They will serve the Yidden, will serve Hashem al ha'hor hazeh. So Hor hazeh is Sinai. There'll be a Matan Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew this Kabbalah Satorah. So Menastam, Klal Yisrael also knew. They had an idea that they're not just going out of Mitzrayim just to go and be landowners in Eretz Yisrael. They're understanding that they have. Although we know others kept Kol HaTorah Kula, the others kept Kol HaTorah Kula before the Torah was given. But Klal Yisrael, what did Klal Yisrael know? So we have to see Pashas like this. Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael, we're going to go out of Mitzrayim, and there's something very big ahead of us. There's a Kabbalah Satorah, we've got to become Am Hashem, we've got to go to Sinai and Mekabal the Torah. So, okay, it's very possible that amongst the Klal Yisrael there were people who are Yodei, I can't say Yodei Sefer, but Yodei Torah, just like Avraham Avinu Yitzhak, the others knew Torah, and the Shvatim knew Torah. So some of the Klal Yisrael knew something about whatever that means. They came out of Mitzrayim, and the poet tells us it was a Yam Suf, and they came to Morah. In Morah we find that some mitzvahs are here. It says in Morah that it's Shom Som Loi Choyk U'Mishpot. Right, and Rashi there in Beshalach, it's a difficult Rashi again, because Rashi Zok, which would be the Gemara Zok, but Rashi says they were given, or Rashi says HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them Parshas BaTorah Sheyis Asku Bohem. They gave them Shabbos, Kibud Av Va'Em, Poro Aduma, and Dinim. And Rashi brings in, it's a difficulty in the Sharish. Shari Arno's got a big question, why did Rashi pick out those? Because there's different Midrashim and there's Gemara, which ones? But Rashi picks out those four that they were given. What does it mean they were given in Morah? What does that mean? Does that mean that from Morah onwards they were chayiv in the mitzvah of Shemitah Shabbos? Well, now they told them. Well, who told them about from then onwards? Sorry? When they got them on, they were told about dinim. Yeah, but what they were told, don't do malacha. They said, mon, you know, kolatera, you know all the mitzvah of Shabbos. But take it, Ayidu, know nothing at all about it. Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is the food, don't get it on Shabbos, get it on Friday. Tchum, maybe, yeah, you've got to go out, mustn't go outside the tchum. Don't carry, maybe, whatever. But that's all Moshe said. Don't say al yasu malacha. So were they chuyev in Be'emes? It's a bit of a stira, because the pasuk says, asher tzivcha, kabbalis abricha v'esimecha, in the second lucha, but does that mean that they were metzuva already? And if that's the case, then why does Rashi say, Rashi doesn't say that in Beshalach. Rashi says, Nosan lahem mixas pashas sheyis asku bahem. Sheyis asku bahem, we should learn them. So, l'cha'ura, pshat could be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give them a foretaste of what's ahead.
But
they weren't told Lois Asa Malocha. They knew there's a concept of having a day of rest. They're going to have a day of rest as well. I mean, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paroi, didn't he? You can't work 7 days a week, you have to have a break. But not at Tzivoy of Lois Asa Malocha. So Tzivcha, Rashi taits it Tzivcha, she is Asku Bohem. L'chura, because Bohu wanted to give the Yidin an idea of what's ahead. So they give them a bit of an idea, told a bit about what did they do with Parah Duma, with Shabbos, and with Kibud Av Va'Em and Dinim. They talked about it and they discussed it. What is it? How is it? What? Maybe some people knew a bit. But Mitzvah, L'chora, they weren't Mitzvah. So let's look at it like this. Klal Yisrael, on Shavuos, they heard on Hashem Elokecha. Klal Yisrael said, "Nasa v'nishma." Oh, wow! We'll do whatever you say. The Baruch Shalom. The Baruch Shalom said, "On Hashem Elokecha." He gave them mitzvahs in the Aseret Hadibros, and more to follow. In the Aseret Hadibros, there's merumas, tariag mitzvahs, more to follow. Imagine the state of excitement and anticipation. Klal Yisrael. Oh, wow! What we're going to learn? There's a lot to learn now. Moshe Rabbeinu just give them snippets. Just snippets. There's more to learn. I've heard something about, well, Shabbos they've got now in Aseret Dibros. Dinim they didn't have in Aseret Dibros, and Parah Aduma they didn't have in Aseret Dibros. But okay, they know now there's things ahead. No, when can we have the first Shir, Moshe? Shir one, you know, turn away next tomorrow morning after davening, the first Shir. Yeah, no, Moshe Rabbeinu busy next day. Moshe Rabbeinu goes check to Shem. Sorry, Rabbi Yisai, I'm otherwise occupied. I've got to go and learn Kol HaTorah Kula. I've got to go to up top of Sinai and I've got to go and learn, absorb the whole Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula, Torah Shemuxav, Torah Shemalpeh. I've got to get it on Sinai. So Chai said, oh, Moshe, can't you? No, sorry, I've got to go to Shemai. Off goes Moshe Rabbeinu. 40 days later, he comes down. Nebuchadnezzar, there's that Umglik, there's that Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu, his his plan originally was to come down after 40 days and start the first shear, but he couldn't do that because of the eagle. And the eagle, next morning, Moshe Rabbeinu goes back up to Shemayim Nochamol, 40 days again, he comes down on Chof Tes Av, no shear yet, got to go back up again. Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Sinai for the third time, and he comes down on Yom Kippur, and that's it. Salachti Kidvorecho, Vayhi Mimocharos, look Rashi, in Yisroi, Moshe Rabbeinu sat down, Mayeshe, Moshe, Lishpetes Ha'om, Mistama, his first shear was, Ve'ele HaMishpotim, maybe that's what Rashi means, Ma'elu Misinai, after Mitzinai. This is the first shear that the Klal Yisroel had after Matan Torah. Shear 1. Lesson 1. Ve'ele HaMishpatim. Now, Lechura, it's a bit difficult. I mean, let's look at it from this point of view. Klal Yisroel have been told that they have an enormous task ahead of them. A very, very important, privileged task on this world. Va'atem ti'yuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kodosh. You're not ordinary. These people were not ordinary people. Mamleches kohanim v'goy kodosh. That's a terrific title. How do you become mamleches kohanim v'goy kodosh? I'll give you a Torah. I'm through the Torah. So, you know, we see a yid, it's a heilig yid, it's a tzaddik, a kodosh. So we envisage, what do we see? He davens hours long, and it's just a ganze tog in the land, and he's porosh from oilam hazeh. He's not worldly, he's the kind of person that's not interested, he's very quiet, and he's... So that's kedusha, yeah. Lechura, that's kedush. Mamlechus gam. The Klal Yisrael were expecting after Matan Torah. Let's hear these fantastic rules. The first rule is Ve'ilah Hamishpatim Ashetosim Livneim Benodim Lachaveroin. Look, the chinuch explained. The chinuch says beautiful words here. The chinuch says Rotzo Hakel Sheyia Amo Yisrael Ashebocha Hakadosh Baruch Hu. These people that he chose, he wanted them to be Am Kadosh. Here we've got the Kodesh again. Ume'uta, and adorned b'chol ha'midas toveis ume'ulois. That's what Hashem wants. Mamlechas Kohanim Megoy Kodesh means Am Kodesh Me'uta, adorned with chol midas toveis ume'ulois. Ki mitoich kach, through this, if a person is me'uta b'midas toveis, tochul ha'brocha aleim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can put a brocha on them. Again, in Yisroel, b'chol ha'mokam asher azkeh reshmi, ovoy elecha uveirachticha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give brocha to Klal Yisroel. The prerequisite to be an am, to be able to receive brocha, is b'me'uta b'midas toivas. V'ha'chesed v'harachmim carries on the chinuch, and the midah of chesed and rachmim min ha'midas ha'meshubocha sheba oilam, are the most important and wonderful midahs in the world, chesed and rachmim. So Klal Yisrael's first shear was Rabbosai Davom Guta Midas. That was the first shear. But I'm going to go a step further. I think I heard this from Rosh Yeshiva Zech Tzadik Livracha. Mistama, I did him. I know, I heard it a long time ago. Mistama, that's how I heard it from Rosh Yeshiva. Rosh Yeshiva said like this. You start off the Pasha, Mishpatim. Good, okay. What's the very, very first mitzvah? Eved Ivri. Who's Eved Ivri? The lowest in the social strata, you have machas, you have little people. The Eved Ivri is Odar Aganov, a real low lifer. Yeah? Or he's so poor, he has to sell himself. And Rashi says in Bahar, how did he come to such a situation? Because he didn't keep mitzvahs. So we're not talking of a Choshev Yid, a Rosh HaKohol, or a Talmud Chochem, or a Ben Torah. We're talking of a low lifer, a Shmoyker, nobody. And him, the Torah starts off with him, look after his interests. We won't maybe feel we want to hurt someone of our level, of our standing, someone above our standing, of Adonis, but someone level our standing. I have to look after his rights. Well, what is there? Come the Torah, Zuzogen, Eved, although he's not a good person, we're not pleased with him. Ariah, we're not pleased with him. The Torah allows him to marry a Shiksa. This heilige yid who's got a heilige yid in his shoshama has lowered himself to such an extent that the Torah is matir. He can live with a shivcha kananis. Okay, so she's got certain chiyuv mitzvahs. He's not mamish a goiter, but he's gone down quite a few steps in his situation in life. And him is the one who says, look after him. Treat him like a king. If you've only got one 13.5 tog duvet in the winter and the other one's a 10 tog, give him the 13.5 tog. If you've only got other things are mentioned, if you go out to buy something, buy one for him first. Your life, Misha Connor. Eved Connor Odonly Atzma. You've got to look after him on the highest darga. The Torah wants to teach us this terrific lesson that to be Am Kodosh, it's Ma'uta B'Midas Toves. And no less than the Eved Ivri, you've got to look after him fully. If I'm allowed to go back a little bit in the Pasha, back into B'Shalach, I heard a beautiful vort from Ramatisho, Salomon Zolle Gesund Zayn, on Zekeli Van Vehu. Rashi brings on Zekeli Van Vehu two pshatim, and the Gemara brings two more pshatim. Rashi says Zekeli Van Vehu, the first pshat Rashi says from the word Nove, a dwelling place. Evne Lo Beis Hamikdash, I'll build him for him a Beis Hamikdash. That's one pshat. Then Rashi says a second pshat. Rashi says, Rashi Zot, I will make him beautiful in front of the goyim. In other words, I'll show the goyim the Rebbeinu Shem is azoy good. Yeah, that's Rashi's second pshat. Nove from Shenkite. But the Gemara says two more pshatim. The Gemara says his noe lefano b'mitzvah sukkah noe talis noe tefillin noe hidu mitzvah. You build a sukkah, you build a beautiful sukkah, you have a lovely sukkah tefillin, you have shena tefillin, etc., etc. That's anvehu nove. And the fourth pshat is anvehu ani vohu mahu rachum afato rachum mahu chanon afato chanon. I think the Matthew Joe said they all go together. He said just something on these lines. The M is all the one thing. The tachlis of the Briya is to be ma'abek kved shemayim. To be ma'abek kved shemayim, how we ma'abek kved shemayim? Build the Beis HaMikdash. The Muslim needs a building. We know the main building is, where do you build the Beis HaMikdash? In here. In the heart. Yeah, but also li mikdash v'shochanti v'soichom v'soichol echom v'echod. The Hashiros HaShchina is in the person. And how does he become in the person? If the person is an Ivohu, if he has the middle like the Rebbeinu has, Mahu Chanon Avatoi Rachum. So to build the Beis HaMikdash for HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to build inside yourself and do it in such a way that you have good midas, ani vahu, and mamela, and the goyim will see the elokite from the yid, and they'll see how the yid is mahadur in mitzvahs. It's also kiddush Hashem. The goy sees what the Jew does for the sake of his mitzvahs, but not if the Jew can't behave himself in the marketplace. Then the goyim are not impressed by the Jewish way of life. But if the yid get a geld for mitzvahs, itak a boita shein a sukkah, and itak a wear beautiful, and the goy see the Jews give out so much for their mitzvahs, and they are a beautiful people, Mamela, that's Meshabcheu, Livnei Ha'umas, Mamela, they all four go together. And if the tachlis of the world is Kedekoy Shemaim, Alex Bo wants to make us Am Kodosh to be able to fulfill that, Ve'elam Meshbotim Meshatosim Livnei. Where do you start? In Menod Malachavera. Staying with the Eved, let's go a little bit further with the Eved. We have an Eved Ivri, let's stay with the Ganef. Nebuch. I said earlier on, he's naughty, but he's not wicked. Maybe he's got a very difficult financial situation, and he's desperate, and he steals. The rich guy's got plenty of money anyway. He won't miss the £1,000 that I pinch off him, which is probably true. I need it desperately, so he gives himself a head. No head at all. It's an explanation, not an excuse. But we understand it's mitigating circumstances. He's not a wicked guy. He's a ganav. And so we sell him. So he's sold. What a downfall for this fellow. He was one of us in the community, and now Nebuch is Yenim Zeved, he's the Eved, he's Meshubach, Sheish Shonim, day and night. Rashi says, for 6 years he's Meshubach to this Odin. The Odin looks after him, yeah, he's not maltreated, it's not the slaves in the American South. He's treated very well indeed, he's looked after, but he's an Eved. His status when he walks into Shul, he's the Eved. Everybody looks at him and knows he is an Eved. He's not on the Darga that we are, he's one below us. It's the Adin, In Begapo Yovo, Begapo Yetze. In Baal Isha, who says the pasuk, if when he comes in, when he becomes, he starts off his service, he's married, he's got a Yiddish wife and kinder, then the master has a reshus to give him a Shivcha Kanaris. What a come down. What a come down. He goes, he has to marry, he's got no choice. He marries a Shivcha Kanaris. Nebuch, we must be feeling, oi, oi, it's not me. Torah says so, master has the right, Shivcha Kanaris. He goes through his 6 years of servitude, and at the end of the 6 years, it goes, Lachofshi Chinom. You can go home now. Back to the Kehillah, back to who you were before. It's a cushy number here. I'm on a good thing here. I get looked after well. I got the best bed. And I couldn't afford all things before. Now I'm looked after very well. My wife, my children look after very well. I want to stay. Rashi says, Mashivcha. He's happy with his shiksa. He's happy with. I don't want to go out. So the Torah, oy oy oy. We have to pierce his ear. Why do we pierce his ear? Rashi, oh, is in Shishaman HaSinai, lo signo, if he heard, you're not meant to steal, and now he stole, let's punch his ear. So this guy now has a permanent mum. Right? Up until now he had a stigma which wasn't on him, but it was just his ear. Now he's got a hole in his ear, and which, lo'olam, and he's there now till Yovel, for the rest of his life, he'll have that mark on his ear. Because it's 6 years ago since he stole. Why don't you pierce his ear when he arrives? What's up as yet? He's been an eved for 6 years. When he stole, he says, "Oh, you naughty boy, you stole, we punch, pierce your ear." So the terrace is like this. State apostle in Yeshaya. In Yeshaya it says, "Kol gei yinose." So have Torah, one of the have Torahs. All valleys, La Osid Lovoy, or Chazal saying the Knesset Sol of Saint Akurat Borhu, Kol Gei Yinose, please raise all valleys and make them level. Valleys goes down, make it level with the top. Kol Gei Yinose. Why? Because it says the Pasuk in Yirmiya, the Klal Yisrael were rebuked for the averus they did in Gai. Re'i darkech ba'gai. See how you behaved in the valleys. But Yidden did averus in the valleys. Klal Yisrael said, the Ribbono Shel Olam was so embarrassed. Every time we walk past a valley, it reminds us, oi, da hab ich gesündigt. Oi, I feel bad. Takash Bochu, take away the valleys. I don't want to see a valley anymore. Kol gei yinose, and then Clarissa won't have the embarrassment of their previous averas. Zemadoch, the ayid does an avera. Do an avera. An avera, Rashiva Zachzad Rach again, forgive, quote him again. An avera mitakrechs is different than avera onakrechs. You do an avera, you do averas. Oi. This Eved stole. We'll for the moment not criticize him. He had difficult financial situations. He's now had 6 years to contemplate what's gone on. By now he ought to have come to a conclusion, that was not right of me to steal. I'm embarrassed the whole time. Every time I go in the street, people look at me. I'm the Eved. It's in his mind all the time. Oi, I want to shed it. No, I don't want to shed it. Lo yetze chofshi, I want to stay. Do a mensch. That means after 6 years, you still don't feel any charota for your sin, for your stealing. You still feel ganz good about it. Now you can have an ear pierced. At the beginning, you weren't such a bad guy. But now, you've not had the slightest bit of charota. If you had charota, you'd be embarrassed. I'm talking of Eved. You want to continue Eved? Continue Avdus? Oiz yeshom al ha-sinai lo signoiv, yerot. That's why Davka now, and not earlier on. Shadu Adin, the most misunderstood and misquoted and misexplained pasuk l'chora in the Torah is Ayin Tachas Ayin. Right? The Torah tells us, Shadu Adin, that Pashtasif, Reuven and Shimon are fighting, and Reuven destroys the eye of Shimon, Ayin Tachas Ayin. Then, translated by the world, the biblical punishment is an eye for an eye, you blind him in one eye. The passion, the types of the apostles. Not the Gemara, Yochel, you say, no, Momoin. And the Gemara gives a whole load of Yalfusas, how we know. The Gemara tells them, well, there's 7 or 8 different Yalfusas, how do we know? Maybe it's like this, and the Gemara learns, Azoy, the Gemara says, no, it has to be Momoin. I'll prove it to you, it has to be Momoin. A whole load of proofs, there has to be Momoin. But all the proofs I've all got a shekel of cash against. None of them are foolproof proofs. There's always something there that you could flag up. The money itself says that. So it boils down in the end to Poshet Zach, to Aremuna in Torah Shebal Peh. Sof kol sof, the goyim have nish loyosachein the whole goy, umish potim bal yadom. The thing was a goy fashteit nish. He says, how can the Bible say if God's kind, how can he say eye for an eye? He never said that. But the goyim have mason dos nish. The goyim haven't got the Torah map, but they haven't got their money in the Torah. Loyosachein the whole goy, umish potim bal yadom. They don't have mish potim. But the Torah tells us, we know very clearly, Chazal tell us again and again, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein means pay. And Emma's there's two riyas, I'm giving again riyas, in the wording of the Pasuk, which show that that's the case. The riyas that the Gemara brings are Yalfusas, it can't be this because of, but I'm going to show you there's two pshatim, one from the Goan, and the second one is from the Shimon Sofer, that in the Pasuk Alain licked that it's money. The Gaon says, ayin tachas ayin, if you write the aleph base, downwards, aleph base, gimel, one below the other, and you look at the letters ayin tachas, the letters ayin, you get kesef. So the pasuk says so. The Gaon says, all in the pasuk. Hafachba v'hafachba d'choylaba. Every member of Chazal is in the pasuk if you know how to interpret in the pasuk. State in pasuk, kesef. That's the first pshat, the first raya, if you like. In Taich in the Pasuk, well, that's a remez. But here, and even closer to the Taich in the Pasuk is like this. You find everywhere where the Pasuk tells you if someone did a crime, this is the punishment. If they did a damage, have to pay. It always says the crime first, then the punishment. Umake nefesh behemo. Yishalmena. He did this. The beginning of the pasuk is the action that he did, the crime that he committed. And then it says, what should happen? If ayin tachas ayin means an eye for an eye, take out Reuven's eye because he took away Shimon's eye, then it should say, tachas ayin, because he took out Shimon's eye, ayin, take out his eye. It doesn't say that. It says, ayin. Tachas ayin. So ayin means ayin. He destroyed the eye. The first ayin doesn't mean take out the mazik's eye. Ayin is telling you what happened. That kolatura kulu you find always. That's the mahalach of the loshon of the pesukim. Read the pesukim at the goyim type, because that's what it says in the pasuk. You've got to read the pasuk. You've got to read the whole Bible as a whole. You look through the whole Bible, you see the Bible always talks of the misdeed first. Ayin means if someone removed someone else's ayin, tachas ayin, you have to do something to replace the eye. But it doesn't say take out his eye. How do you replace it? No, with mama. Yeah. But it remains one question. If taka, that's what the Torah means, why didn't the Torah say so? Say yishalim, like he says everywhere else. Yishalim, he broke the window, pay. His ox killed another ox, pay. Say yishalim, yishalim, my boy, yishalim, yishalim. He says yishalim. The Torah doesn't say yishalim at all. The Torah doesn't put the word yishalim whatsoever. What's Pshatah? Let the Torah say without all the it's not sorry. The Sephorno says a little, and we'll enlarge on the Sephorno. The Torah is saying that Lefi Ho Emes Mido Kineged Mido, you should take out his eye. Take out your shot. No question. That's what the right thing ought to be. You caused this person to lose an eye, you should lose an eye. That's the fair and just treatment you should have. Oh, but the Torah says, no, we're not going to do that. But the Torah wants desperately to get the message across, and it's like this. The truth is, if Chas V'Shalom, someone removes somebody else's eye, he's caused him two harms, two damages. One is financially, because now, as Rashi says, he's not physically able to, so he'll have a financial loss, which, of course, in our estimation, it's important, but it's far, it disappears entirely up to the real loss. This guy, for the rest of his life, is blinded in one eye. Or if he removes his leg, so this guy is lame forever, he's got to go in a wheelchair, he's got to have a false leg. You can't pay money to repair that. No money in the world. Nobody in the world will say, hey, give me $1,000, you can take my eye out. No, nobody. So when Chas v'Shalom Reuven is Mazik Shimon by taking out his eye or a limb, he's causing two losses, a financial loss and a real loss, a physical loss which is never can be repaired. So Nebuchadnezzar, a Yid did it. What's going to come? I said, when you come to Avyanovelt, what are you going to say to him? You know, you took out Yenna's eye. Yeah, well, I paid. Yeah, but hold on. Yenna suffered the rest of his life. The only way to get to be machape for that is Yenna dav michel zayn. You've got to ask mechila. You've got to go to the nizik, and you've got to say, I'm sorry. Say, I'm sorry. Again, I quote the Rosh Hashiva Zechayin Levracha. I remember clearly in one of the Shmuzen, the Rosh Hashiva was talking about, I'm sorry. It's the most misused word in the English language. He said, you get this big survival, imagine, you get this big Irish navvy, this big 6'3", so he gets with his big hobnailed boots, standing at the bus stop, and he clumps along to the bus stop, and he crashes his foot down on a young lady, a dainty lady, and she crashes his foot down, his big hobnailed boots on her foot. Yeah. Sorry, love. And that's it. There's a show you to get in. He's sorry. I said sorry. He said, sorry is garnished. Sorry is not what you say. You've got to feel. The Torah wants you to know you've got to pay. I've had you've got to pay because he had a financial loss. Oh, but the rest, the other loss that you caused him, ayin tachas ayin, dudes after vorstellen, you have to imagine that you're losing an eye. Now, what would you feel like if you lost an eye? Do you know what it feels like? Picture, imagining yourself what you would be like. That's what you did to him. Oi. When you go to him, you say you're sorry, it won't just be sorry. For the rest of your life, you'll help him, you'll do as much as you can for him, you'll better mechila, not just, I'm sorry, please, really, everybody, mechil me. He'll go down on bended knees, he'll cry, he'll beg, what can I do for you? For the rest of your life, you'll feel hachno'ah, you'll feel regret of what you did. And then, hopefully, you can have a kapora. You paid the money, that kapora is cleared, that part's cleared, but the rest will only come if you realize, ayin tachas ayin. The Torah wants to tell you this so that you should realize this and then do the right thing about it. The Torah is not machai of you, but you know, there'll be a din v'cheshbon. The only way to clear that din v'cheshbon is if you realize I should have lost an eye. I in tachazai. And that's what the Sephorno means. We have a mitzvah saseh a little later on, im kesef talve es ami. There's a mitzvah to lend money. Chavetz Chaim speaks it ba'arichas in Avos Chesed. The mitzvah saseh, if you have the funds to lend, someone needs even an osher, if he needs money, the mitzvah saseh to help him and to give him a loan. Azoite the Torah. Right. So in other words, the halacha is, basically, if you've got spare money, that's a funny word, okay, but if you've got money which at this moment you don't need for whatever, and someone asks you for a loan, mechoyev mitzvah haseh min ha-Torah, to lend him. Of course, you've got to take precautions. You get your money back, etc. It turns and say, you've got to give it, you've got to lend it. So mitzvah haseh of halvoas kesef. But with it goes a whole load of instructions how to behave. Loi si eloi, so we know who's first, Oni, Yom Mishpacha, all the halachas, it's like in Shulchan Aruch, it's a Shulchan Aruch halacha. How do you do the mitzvah of halvoyas kesef? Okay. The Torah here says, Loi si eloi kenoshe, you mustn't be harsh to him. Rashi says that it brings in the Gemara that if you know he can't pay you back just now, not only you must not pester him, come on, pay me, his time is up, pay me. You know the time is up, he should pay, and you know he hasn't got. You're not allowed to pester him. Rashi even says you're not allowed to walk in front of him, let him see you. Kenosha, you mustn't oppress him for the money. You mustn't take ribis, fashtetzach hazoy, loisimon olav neshech, fashtetzach, ribis is a great issa. And then there's the din of mashkin. You give a mashkin, if you take a mashkin, you're allowed to have a mashkin through Bezin, you can have a mashkin, but you have to give it him back under certain conditions. A day beggar, you have to give him back for the day, a night beggar for the night, etc., etc. Then the pasuk says, if he cries to me because you weren't nice to him, if you did any of these things wrong to him and made him feel bad, I will listen to his cry, because I am graceful, I am kind, I'll hear what he has to say. The man says, let's consider. When the guy asks for his money back, what's he doing? If you've got no claim on the other person, and you pester him and you drive him mad. You've been nasty to him, but you owe me the money. Yes, I did you a favour, lent you the money. Please can I have my money back? Is that anything wrong with that? It's perfectly normal. My taina against the loiver is genuine. I've got a genuine claim on the loiver. Please can I have my money back? And he's crying to Hashem, it's not fair, this fella's pestering me for the money. If I'm doing him a wrong, I can understand that he cries to Hashem and Hashem will punish the malveh. But the Pasuk says, Shemati Yichanan Oni, elsewhere Rashi says horrible things will happen to the person that does these sort of things to the loiveh. So what's so wrong? I'm the hurt party. My money's gone, I'm the hurt party, not him. All I'm doing is... But if you overstep the line, like the Torah says, and you make him feel uncomfortable, the Torah says, "V'shamati kichanononi." So what will happen? That's brought in Mefarshim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will transfer some of his money to you. In other words, Dibasvan Ois Asher, he'll become the Asher, and you'll become the Oni. That's what will work. So how does that work? How does that make sense? Very good. The Chovos HaLevavos says, in Shaar HaBitochen, the Chovos HaLevavos talks about the folly of people when it comes to money. Some people think, they got loads and loads of money, oh, Shvach gave me loads of money, more than I need to live on. Yeah, okay? More than his desi pukoi. As much as I need, I know how much I need, and I've got more. Baruch Hashem, I'm wealthy, I've got more. The fool thinks that more is for me to have gone by luxuries, or to line my pocket, to feel good, I've got a big bank account, or to show off, or whatever. Wrong. There are various reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you more money than you need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees that everybody will have what he needs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you life, he'll give you the food that you need. Your needs will be cleared and looked after throughout your life. As long as you need, you'll have what you need. You've now got, you admit yourself, you've got money over. What's that for? That's not for you. One of the purposes of that money is he's giving you, because Baruch Hu is doing you a favor to give you the opportunity to do a mitzvah, to give it to someone else or lend it to someone else. So you are really only the banker. That's all you are. You're the agent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given the money directly to Reuven, but he's giving it to you. Now, do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't give it to Reuven? Why have you got a million and he's got £50? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have shared it equally. But he didn't. He did you a favor and gave you the extra for you to have the opportunity to be Zoicha, to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shaliach. Not bad. I'm working now for the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm delivering, I'm the postman delivering from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if you don't do it that way, you hold it back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not such a good postman. You're not doing the job so well. Okay then. So I'll change my mind. I'll do it differently. Instead of giving it you to give to him, I'll give it direct to him and you'll become the poor man. That's why it makes sense. It's perfectly fair. But Shamatiki Kanononi. I've got various ways of giving out the money. Don't make the mistake of thinking it's mine and I'm a good guy by giving it over. You're not a good guy by giving it over. You're just passing on money that Ribbono Shel Olam gave to you in order to give to Yan. Sorry? Within the Torah says you may, within the parameters. Not kenoshe, not neshech, not harshly, be kind. If it hasn't got it just now, wait. I'm not waiting. But the agreement was 30 days. The Torah allows you to lend because the Torah gives you this tzuchus. In fact, the Rambam says it's the greatest of all there's 10 levels of Gemilas Chasodim. The highest level is lending. The highest level is lending because you're helping someone when he needs it. And the Rambam, I think, says it's the highest level. Sorry? That's lend him in order to be able to have a panosa. That's the highest level. Okay, we'll just finish off with another shtickler here, interesting letter. Earlier on, going back to the fighters, the two people who were quarrelling, the pasuk says that people are quarrelling. Reuven hits Shimon, but Evan over Egrov with a stone or with his fist. But he didn't kill him. But not Alam Mishkov, he ended up in hospital. He's hurt. If Shimon gets up the hishalich bachutz and goes outside al mishantoi on his original strength, the nikah hamake, then Reuven is free. So this follows a murder. This follows the din of murder. So Frank Rashi, of course he's free. You're not going to put him to death. He didn't kill Shimon. So Rashi says, no. What it means is that we keep hold of him. We hold him for the moment in detention in case to see what will happen with Shimon. If Shimon Taka dies, then he'll have to face a murder charge. But if not, then he goes free. But Rak Shivto Yitin, you have to pay Shavas, his loss of work. But Rapo Yerape, and has to pay his medical fees. Right here, the Torah talks of just those two. We know there's three others: Nezek, Tzar, Ripa, Shevus, and Boishes. So the Torah here says you pay for Shevus and Boishes, and Shevus and Ripa. The MS is, if Reuven put Shimon in hospital for 6 weeks, yeah? So Shimon has taka had a loss, he's lost his earnings, loss of earnings, and he has a hospital fee to pay, medical expenses, but he's had more loss than that. He hasn't been to Minyan for 6 weeks. He hasn't been to Daf. He hasn't been to learn. Come on, when you're ill in hospital, you can't do mitzvahs the way it is. He's lost out in mitzvahs. How do you pay that back? Money won't clear that. So the evidence is, if Reuven causes a physical harm to Shimon, and by that he has a physical and a material loss and a spiritual loss, you can't pay back the spiritual loss. That you've got to find some way of teshuva echleis loss. Aber the pasuk says, if a nikar makir, he's free. He's got no debt. You know why? Says the Kerem HaTzvi. We're talking about as a mensch. Sarvus I get nish in shul. Sarvus I learn nish. Sarvus I drink to harum. It doesn't do anything good. Im yokum vehis halech bachutz. On a gate in Jerusalem. Al mishan toy light beforehand. That's all he uses strength for. A damanish and a learn nish. A tutnish mitzvah is an empty no good. An empty rubbish guy who doesn't do anything. Then you've got no cheshbon of the loss of mitzvahs. All you've got is a loss of money. You'll have to pay him.
Good job.
Of course, and act within the rules which they act.